Okay, it is going. Hi, my name is Paige. I am the interviewer, and I am interviewing my stepmom, MJ.
Hello, I'm MJ.
Little background, MJ is my stepmom, but I never call her my stepmom. She's been a part of my life for, 15 years? 14 years. So I know a decent bit about her, and we've talked in depth, but not to the full potential, which is why I wanted to choose her for this project. So I used the great questions list provided for this course. I went ahead and highlighted some that I wanted to talk about and let her highlight a few that she wanted to talk about. So let's get started with the first question. Tell me about one of the most important people in your life.
That would be my grandmother, Mary. I was named after her. Well, I was actually named after both of my grandmothers. One was Mary and the other one was Jane. But Mary's the one that I hung out with the most.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So she made me feel special, and she would just take me out into the garden and do gardening with her and just let me just sit and talk.
What made her the most important person in your life?
She just loved me for who I was. And she didn't judge me. And we just did everything together, her and I.
Would you consider her to be the kindest to you, which was the second question highlighted?
No, she was the kindest to me when I was young. Unfortunately, she passed away when I was 13.
What happened?
She had a heart attack. Yeah. I didn't even get to go to her funeral. We weren't allowed.
Why?
So, I think the adults just decided that none of the kids were gonna go because it was too traumatic, maybe. I'm not even sure to this day. Why?
Wow. But
I just remember hanging out at her house and waiting for all the adults to come back. So as important as she wasn't the kindest to me, I would say.
Who has been the kindest to you?
I'd say that the kindest person would be my adopted mom, Aliza. Whom I met when I was 17. And her and my dad took me in against their friends. Most of their friends said that they were gonna be in trouble taking a teenager into the house and not to take a chance. But being who Aliza is, she always roots for the underdog. So she came and picked me up. I'll always remember that day. And
picked you up from where?
She picked me up. I was staying at a lady's house named Audrey, and I was working at a truck stop. And Aliza came to pick me up. It's a long story. But we don't have enough time for me to tell it here. But anyway, she came and she picked me up, and Audrey sat at one end of the table, Aliza sat at the other end, and Audrey had all of my clothes locked up in her garage. So, and she wasn't gonna let them go until this talk with Aliza was over. But she told Aliza that I was good for nothing. I would not amount to anything. I was a whore, I was a slut, and she had no idea what she was getting herself into. I owed her $110 for a long-distance phone bill, and Aliza wrote her a check and said, let's go. And on the way home, she asked me how long I was planning on staying with them, and I said just a couple of weeks until I found a place to live. And so that was that. Then we walked in the house, and she said to my younger sister, Angie, that she was like, this is the older sister that you've always wanted. Angie was 3.5 and my youngest brother was 3 months old. And little did we realize that at my dad's work, he was a journeyman printer. And that day they fired someone in their facility. And the manager walked through work up to my dad and asked him if he knew of anybody who could start work tomorrow. And he was like, yes, I do. And so he came home and I started working with him the next day. And that was 38 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty special people.
So you're suggesting that she was one of the kindest people to you because she took a chance?
Yes. She took a chance and she loved me and she treated me as her own. And I guess I will be forever grateful.
Share some important lessons you've learned in life.
Oh, well, I guess a few off the top of my head is don't judge people. Don't judge people by the way they look, by the things that they say, by the quirky things that they do. Because you just don't know what they've been through in their life. And until you've walked in their shoes, you'll never understand what they've been through. You can be going through similar things in life, and that's your road and your path to follow. But just always believe the best in people. Always look for the best in people. Always look for the positive things in life and in those around you that you meet. Because you can always, it doesn't matter how, in my experience, it doesn't matter how bad things get or how dark things may seem. If you look hard enough, you'll find, even if it's just a little tiny piece of positiveness. And in some of the meanest people, they have hearts too. And sometimes you just have to dig to find it. And sometimes with those type of people, you just have to find something common, some kind of common ground. And I know I've done that a few times and it works. And all of a sudden they kind of turn around and do a 180. So if you concentrate on the darkness that sometimes you face, it'll pull you down.
Yeah.
So always just, for me, I'm called Mary Sunshine. You know, Little Miss Sunshine, because to me, there's no other option than to just try and be positive all the time.
That ties into our next question. Tell me how you would like people to remember you. With that positivity.
I want them to remember how positive I was. And I want them to remember the good times that I had with them. And at my not funeral, but maybe my memorial service or whatever. I don't want people to be sad. You know, I want them to remember me and tell funny stories and maybe sing the songs that I used to like singing and talk about all the silly food programs that I love watching. You know, and just celebrate the life that I had, because it's a good life.
Tell me about when you found out you were going to be a mother.
Oh, I always knew I was going to be a mother. But, and I always kind of had a feeling. I didn't want to go through childbirth. But I always knew I would be a mom. And I always knew that I would find somebody who was divorced and had children of their own already, and that I would treat their children as if they were my own.
You've been successful on that so far.
Yay! Oh, that's good. Because I remember the day that I actually met you and your brother and sister online. Mom and I
don't.
You don't?
No.
Yeah, you guys had come. It was Christmas morning in 2004, actually. You were 8 and a half, or I guess just over 8. And Mom and I were playing games online because I'm Canadian, so I was in Vancouver, and Mom was in Maryland. And we were playing crib or backgammon, and you guys came back from Dad's, and you came running up into Mom's bedroom, and Mom introduced you guys to me, and Mitch had put together a T-Rex with Dad that morning, so he showed that to me.
What?
Yeah, it was not a Lego T-Rex, but, you know, one of those kits. Anyway, it was a T-Rex. And you had a cow, that stuffed cow that Dad had given to you. And so you showed me the stuffed cow. And
was this on like a webcam then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Katie was just Katie, and she just came and said hi. Hmm. And you kids, that was it. You guys, off you flew.
I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. That was good.
I remember the pizza place.
Yes, the pizza place. That's another question, I think.
Is it?
I think so. I don't know.
Would you consider that the describe your first date with your husband, wife, partner?
Yeah, I can describe that as my first date with my husband, wife, partner with the kids, all the family, all wrapped up into one. When we took you guys for pizza and a movie.
It was a movie, too?
Uh-huh.
I just remember going to Villa Pizza.
Yeah, we had pizza first.
What movie?
Oh, I don't remember what movie it was. But it must have been a Disney movie, because those are the only type of movies that I ever took kids to back then. Yeah, and we were having pizza, and Mom and I looked at each other, and then we asked you kids if you would mind if I asked you kids if I would mind if you started dating your mom, and you immediately said sure. And Katie was like, yeah, that's fine. And Mitch had to think a minute, Mitch being the thinker, and finally he said, yeah, I'm okay with that. And that was our first date. Then we went to the movies.
I've never actually heard the story of the proposal. I've heard of you guys meeting, but never the proposal.
That's because there really was no proposal.
No?
Not really. Not in the traditional sense. I came and I don't know. I don't even remember, really.
How do you not remember?
Well, because it was just said in a conversation, in a sentence. And Mom said something about marrying me one day, and I said, I would love to. And that was that. But on our candy anniversary, Mom gave me...
Define candy anniversary.
I don't know. What's candy anniversary? I can't remember. Was it the 10th or 10-year anniversary? The 6th-year anniversary. Pardon me. One of the traditional gifts, I guess, is candy you can give your wife or your husband. And it was mixed in with my 50th birthday. And so it was, I came because I was traveling back and forth from Canada. And anyway, so I came here, and no sooner do I get here than your mom puts me on a scavenger hunt. So she gave me my first clue, and it was something like, yeah, who puts baby in a corner? And what movie is that from? And I'm like, that's from Dirty Dancing. So then I would have to go and find the Dirty Dancing movie. And in that movie was the next clue. And we got a couples massage, and we had dinner, and... we had Starbucks, and then she took me home. We had to go back to the house, but little did I realize that it was a surprise birthday party.
That I remember.
Yeah, and that's when I got my last clue. And it talked about candy and a diamond. And I was like...
That was ridiculous, too, because her surprise birthday party... It consisted of just my friends from school because you hadn't moved here yet. It was just my friends and then Kathleen.
Kathleen and was Aunt Laura there? No. I think Aunt Laura was there. No. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well,
was...
then, yeah, we left. I'd leave all my friends at home so we could go to the jewelry store.
Yeah, because I was like, well, we have to go to the mall. Because, and then I went to a candy place, and I had to read this clue, this riddle. And they looked at me like I was an idiot. And I was like, so you don't have any candy for me? And they're like, no. I was like, huh, okay. So then I thought, well, there's Belk's. Belko? Belk's?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we went up there because I knew that they had a candy area. And I read the same thing to them, and they were like, nope, that's not here. Hmm? And then I thought, well, what the heck? Where could it be? And so because it was talking about a diamond or jewelry, I was like, well, there's a jewelry store, so let's go to the jewelry store. So we went there, and I read them the same riddle. And I said, do you have something for me? And she looked at your mom, and she looked at me, and then she got up and went to their safe and got me out a box, a heart-shaped box of candy. I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. And it also had a picture in with it as well. And when I unwrapped the picture, it wasn't actually just a picture of anything, but they were Chinese symbols. And each Chinese symbol, like one was of love, one was of my happiness, one of my soulmate. And, you know, so as Mom read each one, I would have to have a candy. So I had to eat the whole box of candy. I got tired of eating all the candy, so I tried sharing it. Anyway, got to the last one, and they were all wrapped in foil. And so I unwrapped it, and it was a diamond ring. And I burst into tears. And that was our candy anniversary, and my birthday all rolled into one little package.
Would you consider that your main proposal then, if it wasn't the conversation loosely had?
Yeah, I guess it would be after the fact, because we were already, well, we had had a commitment ceremony. So I'm going to, and that's what we consider our actual wedding day.
Right.
So back in 2007. And this was after that.
When did gay marriage become legal? That was 2014?
No. 2016? Up in Canada, it's been legal since...
No, United States.
Oh, 2013.
No, I think it was 16, because it was recent. It was very recent.
No, because in 2013, by the end of June, the federal government was recognizing gay marriage. Okay. And that's how I managed to get started on my visa to get into the U.S.
Right. Has your life been different from what you imagined as a teenager?
Yes. Yes, it has. I had absolutely no idea when I was a teenager that my life would turn out as good as it has.
Aww.
I can't think of where I was going with that. But anyway, I certainly didn't think that I knew I would get married, but I honestly didn't think that I would get married to another woman. Because until I met your mom, really, I had no idea that I was gay. So I'd just been single because I enjoyed being single. I wasn't looking for anybody when Mom came along. But, and just all my work and you kids, and I didn't think it would be this good.
When you were younger, what did you imagine your job would be?
Oh, I was 13 when I decided I wanted to be a dental assistant.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I was a dental assistant and a damn good one for 31 years. And when my mom, Aliza, found out when I moved in with her, she asked me what I wanted to do. And I told her that I wanted to become a dental assistant. She thought I wanted to because of her. She was also a dental hygienist. So she thought I was doing it because of her, and she didn't think I'd make a very good one. So she said, I give you 5 years and you'll get bored and you'd be leaving. So I'm like, nope, 31 years. That's what I did. And I can't remember the whole question. Did I answer the question?
Yeah. Thinking of jobs you've held, is there one that stands out as your favorite? Was it being a dental assistant?
It was being a dental assistant.
Why?
Well, I worked with my mom and my stepdad in our dental practice. And through the years, you watch the kids grow up and come back. And, you know, and I just, after 24 years, you get to know people. And I got to know people right off the bat. I mean, I wanted to be a dental assistant when I was 13, getting back to that question, if I may, because I hated dentists when I was a kid. And I would shake so bad some days that they couldn't work on me. But my dental assistant, Helen, would come and sit and talk to me and make me feel more relaxed. As well as relaxed as you can be in a dentist chair. And I thought that's what I wanted to do when I grew up, because I know what it's like to be a nervous wreck. And I wanted to talk to people and help try to alleviate the stress that they were feeling because they were sitting in my chair. So then getting back to the present question, that's what I did. I would just sit and talk to people. And a lot of times, Jack, my stepdad, he always just left the office, the room that I was in with the patient, after he gave them the injection or whatever it was, and he would give me 5 or 10 minutes, even though it only takes 2 minutes for the anesthetic to work, but he knew what a talker I was. And sometimes I could tell that he was just standing behind me waiting for me to finish my conversation with them. And I would just sit and talk to people, and that's what they liked. most about me is how I made them feel. Comfortable, relaxed, and people would come and I would give everybody a hug. Didn't matter. It didn't matter how, if they were homeless, and we did a lot of free dentistry, so we had a lot of homeless people come into our dental practice. It didn't matter if they were smelly, didn't matter if they made $1 million. Everybody got a hug. And of course, I didn't just hug them. I asked them if I could give them a hug, and 99% of them were like, yeah, I'd love a hug. You know, and then you get the teenage boys coming back. And I remember Ryan, he came in through the door one day for his dental appointment. And he walked up to me with his arms open wide, and he was 17. He was like, MJ, can I have my hug? And I was like, of course you can. And then I went on to ask him why he was not at his rehab center. I'm like, well, why are you out of your rehab center? So we just sat and talked, and people would just talk to me and tell me about their life. And it was just good. I loved that job. I never thought I would see the day actually when I would enjoy something as much. And I found a couple of other jobs that I'm doing now that I do enjoy as much, but on the surface.
What lessons has working taught you?
It's just taught me to just work hard, be loyal, be a hard-working person, employee for your boss, and be loyal to them, and they will hopefully treat you right. But, you know, in times where I may not always be 100% correct, and which I'm not most of the time, but, you know, I make mistakes, and because I work hard and I'm loyal, I just, it just shows through.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't be lazy. That's all I taught me, not to be lazy, because laziness gets you nowhere.
Tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
Yeah, we don't have enough time for that either. But in a nutshell, my biological parents divorced when I was 13. My biological dad worked in camps running heavy equipment. So we moved a lot. I'm one of these kids, by the time I graduated from high school, that was my 12th school. Wow. I went to 3 schools in grade 5. Alone. And but he was a really mean man, and he just didn't let us have fun and be kids, and he would beat us up, and it wasn't good. I mean, when I was 8, I was raped by my oldest brother, my biological brother. And then my grandfather and my father, they didn't rape me, but they molested me. And I hated going over to my grandfather's place because I had to sleep by myself in the basement. And so he would come down. And ironic enough, that was the husband of my favorite grandmother, Mary, who I loved. And so, you know, I would not wish the first 16 years of my life on my worst enemy. But looking back on that part of my life, it's helped make me who I am today. And I think that's part of why I just try not to judge people, you know, and you treat everybody with respect and kindness. And I know that's not answering the question, but...
Sure it is. Well, half of the question, but...
I forget sometimes that you've been raped. You don't carry yourself, you know, with remorse and hatred and...
No.
sometimes the way that people behave when something horrible has happened.
Yeah, I agree. I can't say that it was easy because I carried that with me and I did not talk about that part of my life with anybody until I was 28. And I went through 2 years of counseling, actually, with Charlotte Dick. But she helped me work through it and she helped me realize I had to come to a point where I could honestly forgive who my oldest brother and my father, my biological father and my grandfather. And I just realized that, you know, if I can't move on, I'm stuck. And I'm stuck in the past. And that has no place in my life. And to be bitter and angry about it, sure, go ahead and be bitter and angry about it, but let it go. Because there's way too many people in this world who are bitter and angry and they're victims and they act like a victim and they refuse to go on with their life. They'll go on with their life, but it's like you don't have to be a prisoner.
Right.
I had a choice to make. I could have either stayed a prisoner and a victim or let it go, move on. It happened. It's a part of who I am. And, you know, because if you are continuing throughout your life to be a victim, then they won. And I wasn't gonna let them win, you know? And I think I'm happy. I am truly happy. And because of that, I don't judge people. I accept everybody, at least I think I try to accept everybody for who you are, you know? And just don't be a victim, because that is just, then they've won and I don't want them to win for anybody.
Yeah. I think something that I don't ever say, but I can always appreciate about you is you have a very strong interior, but not a hard one. And oftentimes I feel like it's both or neither. So that's a really cool thing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Aw. That's the nicest thing anyone said to me all day today.
Just all day? But I'm serious. I mean,
well,
like I said before, people could experience the same thing and just not let anybody in. But
well, that was me for the first 28 years of my life. It's like because of the way I grew up, I just wasn't allowed to have fun. I had no feelings. I had no feelings. I didn't cry. And I mean, when I met my adopted parents, you know, they're very much huggy and very affectionate, you know, with Angie and Rick, my younger brother and sister. And they would try and hug me or touch, just the touch of someone else touching me, I would just pull back. And I just didn't want to have any part of it. And it took over a year before I would actually let them hug me. You know, but props to them for hanging in there with me because I was ice. I had no feelings. I had no emotions. And it wasn't until I started my counseling when I was 28, you know, that I started opening up and letting it out. So I just say, find someone you can talk to. And, You know, there's nothing that you can't tell me that would ever shock me. Like, seriously. When I worked in the dental office and we worked on, you know, drug addicts and stuff like that, we would have days where we would truck in, you know, go downtown to one of the addiction centers and bring people back and work on them. And I would just sit there. We had coffee and, you know, from Starbucks downstairs and donuts. And I would be out in the waiting room talking to them or in the operatory and being like, why are you like where you are? And I would just have these heart-to-heart talks with people. And it's, yeah. Some days I think I would be a good counselor.
I think so.
A good therapist.
I want to thank you for sharing all this with me.
Yeah, for sure. I'm very happy to have done it. So, I mean, if, you know, one day if somebody's listening to this, you know, and they're going through something tough, then just let it go as best as you can. Move on and try and find something positive that came from it. Like, my life was truly shit. Pardon me. Don't know if I can say that, but it's out there now. But look where I am. I never would have thought that I would be here with you guys and with Mom. And your mom. I love being your mom. I do. But it's just, I mean, I'm living proof that you can turn your life around. You have a choice, you know?
I'm ending it there. That was a good place.